Praise his name. Let's stand together. Bow our heads as we open the service. Dear precious Lord, oh, how I love you, Father. So appreciative that, Lord, once again, we hear your call to gather. Lord, and the precious desire you place in our hearts to fulfill that word. Lord, as we gather here tonight, walk amongst us, Lord. Look in our hearts. Father, you know where we're at on our walk with you, what we need. And I pray, Lord, that each and every heart will be filled with your word tonight, with the revelation for what we need. We love you, Father. Bless the few songs you've laid on our hearts, Lord. May you just clear our minds that we be, Lord, solely looking to you to speak. And we ask this in your precious name. Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me. I think I'd like to. In our only bleed books, page 372. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Oh, and when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, amen, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Oh, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, amen, my sins are gone. Oh, 'twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. Oh, listen, hallelujah. The Lord took full possession. The devil did depart. I'm glad, amen, my sins are gone. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, when Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Oh, you got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad, amen, my sins are gone. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. Oh, my soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross, oh glory, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough. Oh, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Sing it again. Amen. Oh, there underneath the blood. Oh, think about it. Hallelujah. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Amen. Don't that put a joy in your heart? No, your sins are gone. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Amen. Our capstone books are page 34. Victory ahead. Truly victory in Jesus. Amen.
When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with the shepherd slain and five stones, helped the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day. Then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw that victory ahead. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Something I heard, I think it was today, I seen something I was listening to, but you know, it says David with a shepherd's sling and five stones. And we know Brother Branham mentioned about, you know, it's F-A-I-T-H. But if he had real faith, this man was saying, you know, why get five stones? You know, you only need one stone. That's all he needed. But Goliath had four brothers. So it was just one stone per man, if that's what it took. You know, it was just faith reaches out, saints. It's finished. Amen. I love him. Hallelujah. Page, and I only believe, 161. Day of redemption. It's getting close.
Amen.
Sure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. The day spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring her national lifelong throne. Today she is calling, her ladder rains falling. Return, O dispersed, to your home. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. For the day of redemption is near. Yes. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.
Amen. Look up, your redemption is near. Amen. Keep your eye on the goal, saints. Praise his holy name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up?
Thank you, Lord.
Pass the blessing, if you will.
Lord, you will be there. Oh, yes. Good things of the service of what we say. Bless us all for the left and your people.
I'm redeemed by love divine.
Yes,
oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. Oh, all to him I now resign. Oh, I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm my love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. Oh, I have been redeemed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise his holy name. How many have something you'd like to take before him? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Paul, would you take your questions?
Lord Jesus, I'm acknowledging. Come to you this night, Lord Jesus. We come to you. Lord Jesus, just look to you for help and strength. Lord Jesus, just for all truth, Lord Jesus. We ask for you, Father, expecting from you, Lord Jesus. May your peace once again today, Father. Just pray, just open up those blessed scriptures to us, Father. Just may we see you shine in the Father, Lord Jesus. Revelation from it, Lord Jesus.
may be seated. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? Just keep going.
The prophet indicted this generation, closing out the penitent cost to lay. Then God opened to us a new land, a new message for our day, with a new to divide our inheritance. In that day, you'll know, was the promise given by our Lord. In me, we found our position in the world. This is that long-awaited day. The evening lights are shining. His word has been fulfilled. For in this day, some were satisfied to settle on the near side of Jordan, but in us the deep call to the deep. They stayed until those mysteries declared that we and Christ were one. Then they left us. They weren't predestined to know. Oh, the dewdrops of mercy are falling all around us. Who are we that he'd be so great? We've looked into his very heart, shared his most treasured secrets. My inheritance is to know that I'm part of him. Was the promise given by our Lord? I'm in him and he's in me. We found our position in the world. This is that long awaited day. The evening lights are shining. His word has been fulfilled. For in this day we know. Thank you.
Let's stand together, if you will. Sing a little chorus, only believe. It's a brother to come.
Only be.
Opportunity,
yes,
to be out. Amen. Praying we'll be able to say something from God's precious word to strengthen us and encourage us and keep us pressing on. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity you've given us. And
yes.
Lord, as we rose up this morning, knowing that, Lord, just it was on our hearts that this is the day that, Lord, we get to go in together into your house. And Lord, it's just such an honor we feel to be able to come with saints of like precious faith, Lord, and together in your presence and knowing that you'll be here with us, Lord. And we just appreciate it. And tonight we ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, that you would just strengthen it to our hearts, Lord, and may it just stir us. And Father, keep us pressing on to that goal that you've set before us. And Lord, we'll never fail to see you receive the glory for it all. In the precious name we ask. Amen. He is so wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, I'd like to turn over to Matthew, the 7th chapter. We'll read a verse of Scripture. I was kind of just praying, waiting on the Lord. And a little exhortation came up on my heart. And it may not seem, you know, it's one of those things. It's God's Word. And how great it truly is, as you stop to think, as our pastor was ministering there Sunday morning, talking about the simplicity of God, how true it is that in the human mind, it's so easy sometimes for us to overlook things. And that's a little word, that's something I heard when I was a kid, I learned that a long time ago, and maybe push it off, and maybe not truly apply it to our lives in the fullness that it could be applied. So it's always good to go back and just renew our minds to these things that have been written for us and left on printed page. But here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus speaking, the 7th chapter, 17th verse. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit, and a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated.
Yes,
little scripture has been used many times to bring the essence of to many things the prophet spoke and God spoke in his word and revealed. But tonight I'd like for us to think about it just a little bit differently. And it's me that stands in the need, O Lord. It's you that's standing here tonight. It's me that, as I've gathered here tonight, it's my life I'm measuring up to the Word.
Yes,
and you know, as Paul told us, not to measure ourselves up by ourselves. And how as we realize we're living more and more in the soon appearing of the Lord and in the fullness of time. You sang the song, It's Manifesting Time.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing that fruit, we're inspecting it. And Brother Branham said, we were fruit inspectors. We can watch the fruit hanging on others and see what they're doing. But what about me as an individual? You know, even in the message, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, how Brother Branham encouraged us. He said, go back and look and see what it did then. And see where do you compare, where do you line up today? And so it's just good for us to remember these things and to stop and just, Lord, where do I measure up today? And as I take inventory of myself, as I read these things for my own self, you've got to apply it to yourself. And
and
to truly give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to stir our hearts and maybe cause us to, what do people see? You know, if we take inventory of ourselves, then maybe we might see a glimpse of what someone else sees when they look at me.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't just be my opinion. You know, there's many people today that They're very comfortable, very confident because they sit under some certain man's teaching, or they come up under some certain preacher, or they're related to some certain family, or because they do this certain thing, they're going to heaven, and that's all that matters. But not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but them that do the will of my heavenly Father. And how we want to make sure that the proof is there, that the Holy Spirit is abiding within and truly bearing forth life and showing forth not just to me and you, but to every passerby will see, as the prophet said in the token, that life on display. Amen. Just a wonderful things to look at here, but if you would, we'll turn over to, let's go to 2 Peter and read what Peter said here. Like I said, just things we've heard many, many times, but it's just good to go back and to make sure that we keep these things before us, and to, as Paul said, and I may mention a lot of scriptures, a lot of things kind of on my mind, so, but Paul said in, you know, and he put it forth in Romans 12, 1 to 3, how we should give our bodies as a living sacrifice, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But then in that third verse he said, but I tell each one of you not to think more highly than he ought to think of himself, but to think humbly and soberly as God has dealt a measure of faith. And how it truly we should each one measure ourselves up to God's precious word. And it's only his mercy and grace that's revealed himself to us. And he shows us these things. And how we should truly monitor our lives to make sure. It's wonderful to understand and to hear the great things that God has done, and to realize it. But is my life truly bearing out? How many people do you know that claim to be Christians? And there's many in denominations all around the world. You can see great teachers and scholars and can put this scripture with that scripture and really show you many things in the scriptures and the history of the Bible, so to speak, and maybe even some great different things that they've seen. But maybe their life's testimony just doesn't back up what they claim to see. And maybe we've seen that in our own lives as we've come up through and seen many different times. Maybe someone could just really lay out the word and really seem to be right there. But their life, when they went about everyday life, just didn't seem to line up with what God's word had said. And how it's each one of us has got to make sure as an individual. It's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to dress nice. It's wonderful to make sure I'm always in attendance. But what's my life when I leave here? And what's my life that people see? Do they see me despondent? Do they see me discouraged? Do they see me mad at the world? Always just out of sorts and all kinds of things. But how it's truly, as we look into God's word, these things have been left for us to look at. But here in 2 Peter in the first chapter. Hey, man, we'll get over here. 2 Peter. And we'll just start here about this second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. And it's very easy just to quickly read over those things. But are they truly manifest in my life? Is it evident that by being born again, as she is, the prophet put it in the message, it's just a very simple thing he said many, many times, but in the message Investments, paragraph 3, as he was getting ready to start his message, he said, I was remarking about in my soul a few moments ago in mind about the bearing of the fruit of the Spirit. And as one of the brothers gave the quotation, bearing fruit, you know, we can't manufacture fruit, we have to bear fruit. A sheep doesn't manufacture wool, but because he has wool, he bears wool, he is a sheep. And that's the reason he bears wolves. The only way we can ever be Christians is not because that we have the name or try to work up to something to manufacture it, but being a sheep, you just bear wool, and being a Christian, you just bear fruits by it. So think about it. By the Holy Spirit, by him sending back that token for that believer, and under the shed blood that's been baptized and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and had a soul change and see the nature change, the desires, your ambitions, your wants, and to know that it's not trying to manufacture it up, but it automatically comes forth from those lives. And how hard easy it is to see. You can see some that maybe strive so hard to you know, you can use like women dressing right or men being real men, godly men, you know. Some have to struggle so hard to be that. And some it just comes so naturally. And it's because what you are on the inside will manifest itself on the outside. And we can't hide it. God set it up that way. Just the same as every tree we see, you look at the fruit and you can tell what stage that tree's in. And oh my, as individuals, may we truly be looking and watching our lives to make sure that each one of these things, that's brotherly kindness, love one for another, charity, godliness, and temperance and patience, and all these things, are we truly letting the Holy Spirit have the preeminence in our lives and leading us and guiding us in everything we do and say? Yes. Or do we truly, maybe it's not expressed through our hearts and lives that we, you know, we may have brotherly kindness and love for the one that's treating me good, the one that's doing me right. But what about the one maybe that's treating me a little ill or taking advantage of me or maybe using me in the, to their own good? But oh my, God has placed something down in every heart of every little believer that it can help themselves, whether they're the doormat being walked on. They can't help but to express what Jesus Christ has put in their life to bear forth the fruits of the Spirit. Think of Jesus. You know, I was thinking a lot about that this week as he, this is a little bit off topic, but just so, as he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what lay before him and knowing the great pain and stuff and the endurance of the cross, and it was there, and as he was praying, and can you just imagine knowing that cup was there and what he was going to have to drink of, but yet he could still pray, if this cup will not pass lest I drink it, give me the strength to go through it. And you know, sometimes we just have little obstacles get in our way sometimes, and we want God to move the obstacle. We want it out of our way. We want it gone. We don't want to have to deal with it. We don't want to have to go through this. But he knows what we need. Yes, and everything, the footsteps of the righteous ordained of God. So maybe our prayer should be, Lord, give me the strength to go through what you've laid before me. That my life would bear forth that testimony. That someone else would see they couldn't do that on their own. But by the grace of God, he's taken them through. Amen. There's so many obstacles in life, so many situations that you face. And I, as you go on, and I think many times, as Paul said in Thessalonians, don't let us sorrow as those that have no hope. But oh, look what the promises of God that lays before that believer that realizes and can look into the precious word of God and measure themselves up and see the precious fruits of the Spirit, see the anointing of the Holy Spirit taking their life and molding it and conforming them to his image. Back to the word solely. Oh, what a peace and consolation it brings, and what a desire it puts for more of him. You know, if you really like something in the natural, it seems like you get a little bit of it, you just want a lot more of it. And that's the same way it is with God. The more you get of him, the more you want of him. And oh, it just consumes you, and it becomes a total life-changing event. It's just all that you want in life. And it makes everything else truly grow strangely dim. But as Peter said there, he said, wherefore, the brother, give the diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you and abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. But yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
Yes, amen.
And he said, knowing shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. But moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Amen. And all, as Peter was able to say, he was there. He saw that life living. He saw the expressions. And he knew precisely what he was talking about. You know, in the message, Desperations, Brother Branham made this quotation just to refresh our minds. He said, he was speaking about Jesus. And he's paragraph 35. This was preached September 1st, 63. He said, and he was raised up as a carpenter's helper. And how could that be the mighty Jehovah? But it was, see? Very odd sort of person, but oh, when he was just a boy, he astounded the priest by knowing the Word, because why? He was the Word. He was the Word. He never wrote a book. He never wrote a word. And the only word he ever wrote, I guess, he erased it out in the sand when a woman had been taken in adultery. He never wrote a word. Why? He was the Word, see? He was the Word. He didn't have to write it. His life lived it. And he was the Word. And if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if I don't do exactly what the Word said I would do, then I'm not the Word. And that's what he meant. So think about it today as we eat this Word and as we partake of it and it feeds us and we become the living Word of God, written epistles, read of all men. And by being in fellowship with his sufferings and having received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the token, that life come back upon the believer. Oh my, if it's in there, it can't help but to bear forth the same life that he lived. Think about it. Amen. The same actions. Yes, we'll make mistakes. They'll be in this body that we're in. He was the Word, full Word, without measure. But oh my, as we are growing and coming up through this and the precious Word, taking our lives over, being conformed to that image, how the same life, the same expressions, the same attitude, all about it would be just like him. Amen. In life. That's our whole purpose and wanting to be. And let's go over here to Galatians, the 5th chapter, real quick, and read where Paul was speaking a little bit here. Amen. Galatians 5. You know, these may seem like very simple scriptures, and we may think that, but how it ought to be just such a part of us to the reality that everyone can see it. And how sometimes we stop and think, you know, as we go through life and we face situations throughout the day, do we ever just stop after we've maybe been out somewhere doing something? Do we just ever stop and think back to the conversation I had, or look back and reflect on how things went or what took place, just to see, was there an expression of Jesus Christ here today? Mm-hmm. Or do we never really think about or worry or concern ourselves with, what do people see in me through that situation?
Yeah.
You know, it's not to toot our own horn, but he said we're here for his glory, his honor. Mm-hmm. And it's his life that he so graciously has bestowed upon that believer. They just can't help. But as I said, sheep don't, he gave that sheep that wool. And he put in that sheep what it needed to bear that wool. And oh my, and the true believer, he put inside of them with everything they would need to be exactly what he predestinated them to be in this age.
Amen.
And oh my, he set them in the right condition. He put them in the right place. Just as that little seed needs the sun and the rain and the water of the natural, he put that little seed where she would be fed by the Word of God in the right atmosphere, watered by the Spirit, and it'll produce the same life he did.
Yes.
It'll bring back 100% fold. Amen.
Yes.
Here in Galatians 5, and let's just start at the 22nd verse, as Paul was speaking. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in him in another. For every man shall bear his own burden, and let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yes.
And how is you... Think about the expression, even as he hit that first verse of the sixth chapter, in meekness, in the spirit of meekness. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, I think over the years of, you know, I was reading in the church order book where Brother Branham was expressing about deacons and stuff in the church. And he got to talking about Jesus and how he fulfilled every office while he was here. There was a point in his life, each circumstance was a reflection, and even then he said, I never thought about Jesus being a deacon until the Holy Spirit just showed me this as he was speaking, you know.
Yeah.
And how that, when you think about that, how he showed us every action, everything that we could ever be or want to do in our lives, he has truly left us an example to show us what the Holy Spirit does in that life, to prove that it's bearing forth and shedding his life forward.
Mm-hmm.
And how it ought to be the desire of our hearts. It's wonderful to know and to be able to speak about all the great things that God is doing and the things the prophet brought into. It goes like this and this goes here. That's wonderful. And if God's revealed that to you and opened up your understanding of that, how thankful we should be.
Yes.
But how it is too to know that in humility. You know, I think of even Jesus as you just think of the examples through his life as he was invited to the supper where nobody washed his feet. Nobody really made him welcome. He just took his place in the corner. He was fine. He wasn't offended. He wasn't hurt. He just went about until the time took place. God had a purpose for it happening just the way that it did.
Yes.
But think about it. Every time as we go through life, do we give God that opportunity? Why am I in this situation? Why did I wind up where I am here for this certain thing? Maybe it's not something you even planned or tried to put in order. And all of a sudden you're faced in something and you're like, this is interesting. Why am I here? Do we slow down and let the Holy Spirit have an opportunity? Lord, what is this situation? Or do we just get in our minds, it's just another day. I'm just living. I'm just going through life. This is just typical what's happening. I'm going to the grocery store. I'm going to work. I'm just going here. I'm just going there. And we never think that my sole purpose is to his glory, for him to have the preeminence of my life, and that he could declare to this world, to this nation, this people, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through great signs and wonders, there's a time and place for everything and callings. Brother Branham was a prophet. God had a place and time for his working. I may not need to ever have a healing ministry. I may never need to be somebody that goes out and lays hands on somebody and they're healed. That may not be for me. Think of the little lady as she was just at home sweeping the floor and her husband and the drunk act like he was breaking things. Her life was just a shining example of Christianity. Glory, and God was getting the glory as he looked down upon that situation. Think of the Hebrew children as they's walking up to the fiery furnace. And he's able to look down and watch the situation and know they're keeping my word. They're in love with me. They're honoring me. They're guiding right along. Oh, what a pleasure. As he was able to look down and say, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. Think of Enoch as that day that the scriptures would be recorded that he knew he had this testimony, that he pleased God.
Praise.
Look at where we could stand today with what we have been given by the grace of God. And as we have this word laying before us and realize we can make this world our home. We can act like we're part of it and we can really get caught up and entangled in all that's here. If that's where your love is, that's where your heart will be also. And it'll show forth that this is what we care about more than anything in this life. But oh, if that little seed is down on the inside and it's pulsating, realizing that there's something calling it back from whence it came. Oh my, what a people. We'll be a different manner of people.
Hallelujah.
We'd be on this earth. Amen.
Amen.
This was in the Message. The Rising of the Sun. It's just a little bit lengthy, but we should have time to get through it here. Paragraph 61 to about paragraph 70. Just catch what the prophet's saying. He says, notice the very message of the gospel itself is to prove to the people that he is risen. Go tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them to confirm this. O God, how in this last day there shall be light again across the earth, and I'll prove to my disciples, go tell them that I'm not dead. I'm not a tradition, but I am a living Christ, and I'll meet them. Take this message to my disciples that I am risen from the dead. The gospel, the good news. You say, is that right? Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we, his beneficiaries, are to prove his life is in us now. The beneficiaries of this life, the life, there never was a life lived like it. He was the Son of God, and he died, and that shut it out. But when he raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we as his servants are commissioned by him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that he is living. And how can we do it? By word only, for it is written, the gospel came not by word only, but through the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that he is alive.
Yes.
Now there is another gospel. If there is another gospel, as Paul spoke to the one of the groups, I'm so surprised that you have turned to another gospel, which there is no another, but a make-believe gospel to a denominational fiction, turning from that good news. And because I live, ye live also, and I live in you. And the works that I do, John 14:12. The works that I do will identify myself in you. What a message. No wonder we've had a dark world of theology. But in the evening time there shall come light again. There will be a resurrection in the evening time, and it shall be light at the evening time. The very essence of the message that was sent, he is risen from the dead. We, his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. And we cannot do it by word only. We cannot do it by some tradition of man. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to.
Yes.
And I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory. But we must get them to Christ. He is the only one that has life. And he that has the Son has life.
Yes.
And if a life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you'll live the same life he did. Oh, my.
Yes.
How often the prophet referred to this, but how simple it is if we could just truly let it sink in. So many people want to make excuses and push it off to another age, another time. We can't, it's too great, that's too great. But he give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring this body, the control tower, to bring this body under subjection to God's precious word, that he himself is what the prophet's saying, Christ is a mystery of God. He comes in and lives by himself. And lives that life out through us.
Yes.
And he is a person. He has a personality. Think about those things. How our personality should be so molded to the character of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How careful our words should be guarded. And how carefully we should think. And how easy it is to be careful that we don't offend or hurt the least of the little ones. Oh my. All of God's word becomes really, really big when you just get in the presence of the composer and look at each note. You know, you take somebody, I'll use myself for example. I like to play guitar, but I'm not a true musician. And I can chord and I can play enough to sing and croak along with it. But you take somebody like my wife who has got a natural ear for music. She knows every chord I miss. She knows every little piece that wasn't there that should have been in there. And, you know, to her, it just don't sound good. Sometimes it doesn't sound good. You know, she don't make fun of my playing. That's not what I'm saying. She probably should sometimes. But because she is that trained to the mute, she hears those little things that I never even noticed was supposed to be there. But just the way Jesus Christ, as he reveals himself, so many miss the little details that are supposed to be there. But that's why he reveals himself to each and every one, because they won't miss the little details as he's revealing it and making it play precisely, not missing here and jumping over there, but it's precisely in time and in tune, perfectly in harmony with what he set out to do. Oh my, how that ought to be the desire of our hearts, to be perfectly in tune with what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives.
Amen.
And if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lived. And if the blood of a man was a certain type and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of one man into another, he would absolutely be that type blood. And if the spirit that's in you is reckoned dead and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you, Romans 8:11 said, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body, the same life, the same powers, the same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God. He redeemed you, his seed that was foreknown by God, whose names was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And the gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word, how did we know he was Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. And how will I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised. And he talks about, and that is the identification that we are his beneficiaries with him in the resurrection. He proves what he has talked about. Amen. Through me and you, his representatives today. Amen. And oh my, it's our turn to let him have the preeminence and to see that life lived 100%. And not push it off, not say, well, that's not important. We don't need to worry about that word. You know, that's kind of like when I'm playing the guitar. I'm like, don't worry about that minor. I don't need it. I just need these three chords over here. But in God's word, it's every word. You can't leave one thing out. It's got to be precise to make it play right in tune. Amen. Because, oh my, if you leave that one piece out, it just wrecks the whole thing in reality. Amen. Let's see here. This is in the message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And this is about paragraph 297. And just to pick up on this, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. 297, Brother Branham speaking here, he said, it's a personal individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. And if you say he's been revealed to me, and then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life as in him, does not produce itself in you, you've got the wrong revelation.
Yes,
and this is why it's so important for each of us as individuals to measure ourselves up by the word. Each and every day, every test, every trial, everything we go through, everything from the way, every aspect of our life, every day is, Lord, was it pleasing? Was it in your word? Did I line up with what you wanted in my life?
Yes.
He says, if you've got the wrong revelation. He says, if I put the life of a pumpkin, it would bear. If I put the life of a pumpkin into the life of a pear tree, it would bear pumpkins by their fruits. You shall know them exactly right. You put out a tree, a grapevine, and put out a bunch of grapes. The first shoot it put out brought grapes, the next one brought out lemons, the next one brought out pears, and the next one brought out apples. There's some kind of a grafted affair in there that's bearing its own life. Every denomination will bear life of itself. And how careful we should really watch, because every church that gets away from the Word of God or gets into their own idea, they're going to bear the life of themselves. And how we must make sure as individuals we don't become a denomination to ourselves and begin to try to live in our own, what I think is good enough.
Yeah.
Or what I think that's what exactly as far as it needs to go, when the measuring stick may be showing us a different height,
yeah,
a different mark. May we pay very close attention to what God is showing us. Every denomination will bear life of itself, but if that original vine ever puts out another shoot, it will bear grapes like it did the first time. And if the life of Jesus Christ ever puts out another body of believers, it'll bear the first fruit. It'll bear the fruit that the first one did, and they'll write a book of Acts behind it because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you. It's been injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living its life through you. Let me drop. He says, blind leaders of the blind, notice God holds the key alone. No theologians can tell you. It's not known. It's hid from them. They know nothing about it. The schools, when you say, I got a PH or an LLD, to me, I believe, and to God, that to any real true believer, that means you just that much farther away. You just backed off. God is not known by education. He's not known on how to explain it. God is known by simplicity and of revelation of Jesus Christ to the most illiterate person. See, not your theology. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. know nothing but on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ through the new birth. He's born in there. He injects his own life, and your life is gone, and the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people, that they see the very life, the works, signs, and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you.
Hallelujah.
Outside of that, the rest is not even called to at all. Watch God's great revelation unfolding. Just as you tie these few scriptures and quotes into the things our pastor's been bringing here recently on simplicity, on it's going to think about the quotation the prophet made, it's going to take more faith, more revelation in this age of God really revealing himself and proving that he did fellowship you and inject his own life into you. To bring forth an automatic, not a something we're manufacturing, trying to be like the prophet, trying to be like the things he said. But automatically, by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, our life is changed and turned. Our desires, our drives, our everything about us is pointing back to the one that's being reflected inside of us. He says, by the lack of this revelation is why we have so many different divisions among us, and so much mockery, so much division among us is because people lack that revelation. And oh my, may we truly cry out to God, Lord, open up my eyes. As I look into this word, as this word comes forth each and every time, don't let me place it off to someone else. Don't let me push it and say, this person needs to hear that. This is for brother so-and-so. This is for sister so-and-so. But me, Lord, it's me that's standing here. Receiving the rain, receiving the sun, whatever it may be that's needed for this seed to grow and to continue to produce the life that you predestinated it to bear forth. And to make sure that that life truly matches up with what's written in these precious words.
Yes.
Not looking to some other church, some denomination, some past person that maybe I had great respects for. Or somewhere I come along and this was the person, this is the man, this is the place. But oh my, how we must make sure, you know, you think of Paul with all of his great learning that he had and all that he knew.
Yes.
The Lord took him down there and said, forget everything you've ever heard. So let's start fresh and let me show you my great plan. Oh my. And that's how I feel. Lord, there's so much things we hear, as you come up through life and you grow and you learn things and you hear things and oh my, and unfortunately things stick in your mind. You hold on to things and maybe sometimes you don't realize some of the little things maybe we still hold just a little bit dear.
Yes.
That maybe we need to truly break it down and say, Lord, take that out of me and rebuild me, Lord, to the truth that you have for me. As a babe, and going back to that thing, Lord, I may have heard this, and I may have thought I really understood this, and I may have thought this is the way it was. But Lord, break me down,
amen.
And truly, by your Holy Spirit, take your revelation and show me, Lord, that my life would be that reflection of God's precious word. Oh my, you know, then, you know, you don't, when you go that route, sometimes, you know, when you look into the scriptures and you see how God moved many, many times on them prophets of old. And through their lives and done many things, even through the book of Acts. And many people looked at what they were doing at the time and said, they're fanatics. They should, that's over and above. That can't be. But God was in it a whole way. And oh my, how we should be so careful to make sure, Lord, are you trying to take me higher than where I've been? Don't let me fight you. Don't let me struggle you. But let me look at my life and say, in my current state, do I match the pattern that's been left? Is every action, am I content that I can truly hold up my hand and say, I match that pattern from the book of Acts precisely. I match the life that Jesus Christ portrayed in every action, every mode of everything about me. I can truly point it back and say, Lord, it's in there. Or is there times when I look and I see, Lord, that really wasn't like you. Lord, give me the grace to overcome and take that from my life. But oh my, it's easy to get lifted up and say, well, I've already got it. There's nothing for me to change. I'm good. I'm teaching everybody else about this gospel so I can get my journey. We're getting out of here. Yes, we are. But oh, don't make sure that each and every one of us, myself included, let's make sure that it's evident in our life.
Amen.
And showing forth to others.
Yes.
Amen. Pray you can take a little something from an exhortation. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's I truly understand the scripture that through the foolishness of preaching, You know, because in our own selves, sometimes the things we feel led to say and maybe the way we bring it, we feel so inadequate. When you look back and see the messages that Paul and Peter and our precious Lord spoke in a few simple words and the impact that it had. But God has a way and a provided channel. And you know, I'll never be negligent to do whatever he lays upon my heart, because that's what he called me to do. Amen. And I pray that it's not my words. I'm just renewing your mind to what he said. And that through the simplicity of that, I believe that was the Brother Brandon. There's a quote where he said, through the simpleness of preaching, bringing it in the simpleness of God, it'll do the work that's needed. Amen. Pray you can take something from it. Let's all stand if you would. Glory to his name. I wonder if we could just sing that little chorus. I don't think we've sung that in a while. Glory to his name. Amen. Oh, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, singing glory.
Brother Timothy was bringing that out and thinking about how we could examine ourselves by the word, not by ourselves, and really think about it. You know, here we are, we could use this message he brought tonight two different ways. We could listen to what he brought and say, I was short of that, I'm short of this, I'm short of that. Or we can look at it in the other way, by God's grace, I see it fulfilled in my life. I see it living. And that's what it takes to have that assurance to be in that rapture. That token on display is your assurance to be in that rapture. There is no other assurance. And I was thinking about this scripture as he read, just to kind of just reemphasize on it, make sure we don't miss it. But as he was reading in Galatians, it's 5th chapter, and he went down to the 22nd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But now think of this. Those fruits of the Spirit, you have these fruits on a tree, all right? But we've got to remember these fruit, or all these things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and this goes on. But all these things have to be tested with it. We have to be tested with it in order for it to be fruit bearing. If we're not tested with it, there's no opportunity for the fruit to come forth. So we have to be tested with these things. So don't feel that we can just read that and think there'll be no test. There has to be test in order for the fruit to come forth. So just keep that in mind. Don't ever forget that you have to be tested to see. Otherwise, it's just something we claim, you know. But we have to be tested with it. So you'll have tests in life to see if you're long-suffering. Have gentleness, patience, love, gentle, all these things. You have to be tested. It isn't just, oh, I'm going to have this, and I got this, and I got that. But I'm going to be tested. So will you. Amen. So always keep that in mind. The test will come. If you haven't been already, it will come. And then the fruit has opportunity to be bared. So I appreciate that word tonight, because like I say, we can either see our shortcomings and we need to press on, or it gives us a greater assurance that by God's grace we see the Holy Spirit in our life and we are overcoming by His grace. You see, nothing of what we can do. So we appreciate the word tonight. Amen. I'm sure you was able to measure yourself up, wasn't you? Amen. I was. So we just want to keep pressing on now. And we know we're nearing home. It's getting so close. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious light to be here, to be gathered around the Word of God, and to have our brother to renew our minds back to it. And Father, that we could truly use that Word and measure ourselves up by it to see where we stand as individuals, because that's what we come here for. We've come here for that purpose. Father, in the process of doing this, and as the brother said, through the foolishness of preaching, we also see that, Lord, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. So that's how we continue to receive revelation, and these things become more real to us. So we're so thankful for it, Lord. We just ask it tonight that it's been such a blessing to all of us to be here and to receive of what you've given us. And may we ever be so thankful. So as we leave this little place, again, we realize, Father, that if you should tarry, it'll be a few days before we can gather here again. But, Lord, may we come with great expectations in our heart and such a hunger. And may we be praying and asking you to deliver to us as individuals what we need. For, Father, you're the only one that knows what we have need of. You know where we're walking in life and what our needs is. Father, we just trust that you will just help us all to yield to you and Lord, call on you for revelation more than anything else in this life. And let us be the people, Lord, that little true bride that has that cry to reach out in the Spirit, that passion to know your word, and truly, Lord, that fervent desire to please you. Lord, help us to be those people. We ask now that you grant these things. Be your Holy Spirit. Keep us safe upon the roads. And Lord, just help us to serve you like we need to this day. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Isn't he good? He's just so wonderful. Amen. I love to sing a little song, but I hope you're not tired of it. Just sing a little chorus of praise to him before we leave. Do you love him? Amen. He's so precious. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. And her just salvation on Calvary's tree. May God richly bless you.